is the weekly show all about whether it is our Thanksgiving edition. This is for Monday, the 19th of November, 2012, and we are all ready to go through the woods, over the river, to Grandmama's house. It is that time of the year. It's a great time. My name is James Spann. We've got some big weather brains around the digital weather mahogany table here, including Brian Peters. And let's say, bless you, man. Bless you.
I didn't get to the mute button in time.
Title.
Yeah, I didn't get to the mute button in time. We have a show title for this episode. We love getting the early show titles. It's a good thing. So, Brian, are you okay there? Do we need to dust your office or what?
I'm doing great. I'm just getting acclimated to a new climate. I've been in Chicago for 5 days, so it's... You know, it's different climate up there than it is down here in the central Alabama. So
so you sent me this cryptic note. It said you were at the Mac Mall store in Chicago.
Yes. Didn't even know they had one. My daughter and I have been to Navy Pier and we're on the bus. We're just riding down the street and I look over and there is the Mac Mall store. And it was like, holy mackerel.
The same as the online one? They have a physical store. Wow.
No, they have four.
Oh, in Chicago?
No. Oh. They have one in Chicago, three in California.
Wow.
So anyway, we pulled the ripcord on the bus. No, it's not a ripcord. You
know, ripcord?
Wow.
You know that thing that tells tonight. A bus driver you want to stop. And we got off and came back. And it was fun. I even bought a keyboard for my iPad.
Wow. I have to ask you, Brian, did you just say holy mackerel?
Did I?
Yeah,
I think you did.
I'm sure I did. Yes. Right. No pun intended. It was a very nice trip. I got to see the new James Bond movie in the IMAX at Navy Pier. Ooh. It was wonderful.
Bond. What was the name of that brick and mortar store? Egghead and then they went all online. You don't see a lot. It's not Egghead. What is it?
New Egg.
Yeah. Anyway, I think that's the new version of it. But I'm shocked they have a brick and mortar store. All right. Well, Brian, welcome back to the sunny South. We have producer JP Spann, who is in Starkville, Mississippi, and we hope he'll be joining us for Thanksgiving at the old Spann household on Thursday.
Can we all join you for Thanksgiving at the old Spann?
Brian, beat me to it.
I believe I can handle that drive down Highway 82. I believe I can do that. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to seeing the family. Been busy today doing a little Christmas shopping as well. So getting a little bit of a head start on that. I did a lot of software updates today and doing a little computer maintenance and doing some editing. And don't forget, guys, as I always say every week, you know what's coming. Live.bigbrainsmedia.com. Please come and talk with us, chat with us. Give us feedback, good, bad. Let us know how we're doing. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, we're assigning JP to the chat room over there. I do my best to monitor it, but with all the screens I've got in front of me here, it's a little hard to do. But those are brilliant people. And if you're listening later, and most of you listen to the audio version later, but if you dare, on Monday nights at 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central, we are live on that URL that JP mentioned. So, and JP is the guy that stays up all night every Monday night to put together the audio show. We have Bill Murray, who is using a can and a tin string to join us tonight. Bill,
I've lost my Google Plus Hangout. I can't find you, James.
So the show titles abound.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
So, Bill, you there? Goodness, you there?
So Bill is having a hard time getting the proper bandwidth to join us here, which means he can't get JB Elliott. But I hope we get JB on the show because I got a song I would play for him later and see if he likes it.
I'm trying right now to get him on here.
Yeah, Bill's having a hard time getting on the show. Well, where are you exactly? Or is this an undisclosed location?
No, I'm actually near Louisiana Tech University, the formerly 19th ranked PCS Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. I'm near there.
Boy, what a strange weekend in college football!
That was glorious.
Was it glorious?
It was fantastic.
Nate Johnson is from WRAL. So Nate, why did you like it?
Oh, I mean, any weekend. It's the beauty of college football, where you have a weekend where everybody says, oh, Alabama lost, and woe is us, and who's going to ascend to the top spot? And then number one and number two lose on the same day within about an hour and a half of each other. It's great. I love it. And I'm not even a big SEC guy. Of course, that does good things for the SEC, but I just think it's fun to watch, you know, teams that aren't supposed to beat other teams come in, like Baylor. Not just beat them, but they gave Kansas State. They took them out back behind the woodshed.
Nate, you are forgetting that the Mississippi State Bulldogs snapped a three-game losing streak, blew out Arkansas. They're now 8-3. We're looking for the Cotton Bowl, maybe?
I'm pretty sure we'll could see. Beat Arkansas at this point. So,
I tell you what was interesting. You know, we had on our channel, we're an ABC affiliate, and this is a market where we are in Alabama, where the Alabama and the Auburn games get the big numbers. But we had on our Saturday night game Stanford and Oregon. Okay, typically those just don't do big numbers. Well, obviously, with Oregon ranked, you know, number two, all the Alabama fans wanted to see them lose. And by the time that thing was ending, I think we did a 35 rating and a 70 share at the end of the Oregon Stanford game in Birmingham, Alabama. Pulled a number
instant
like that.
Classic. That is the definition of an instant classic right there.
That's amazing.
And of course, you know, so now if Alabama wins out, then they will play in the national championship again. And if Notre Dame wins out, I guess they'll play Notre Dame. So it's funny that the same thing happened in Alabama last year. So thanks for listening to College Football Brains. We'll see you next week. Kevin Selly, those Baylor Bears, you had let me tell you what, there's a lot of Baylor Bear fans in the state of Alabama.
Is that so?
Yes, upsetting K-State to put Alabama back in the national championship mode here.
I have to say, since I left Alabama, I have not, and which was a number of years ago, I have not paid a great deal of attention to college football. It was a culture there, and I know it's a culture in Texas, but I just have not paid as much attention as I should have.
So if you could pick one college football team to support, Kevin, what team would that be?
I gotta go with my
UAB Blazers.
Yeah. I gotta go with my alma mater, I guess. So TCU,
the Horned Frogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, TCU. You know, they are neither horned nor frogs.
When I was in Dallas in the '80s, they had a coach out there named Jim Wacker.
Yes.
His you know, guys on the sideline were the Wacker Backers.
That's right.
It was that was a lot of fun. TCU, for those that don't know, that's a school in Fort Worth. And, of course, SMU's in Dallas. But anyway, Kevin, what's
just to say how old James is, I was in college when he was here. So there you go.
Ooh. 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 Got me so upset. You got me so upset. I was pressing five buttons at once here, man. Texas weather. What's going on, man? You got a little calm weather out there, don't you? Pretty nice.
Pretty quiet. Unseasonably warm until a cold front comes through Thursday night. But you know, over the years, you know, when things are just quiet for so long, I always notice that James says, you know, it's been pretty quiet around here. We're due for something, and I'm starting to get that feeling in my bones. I think I hung around you too long in the early days, and I start to get that feeling in my bones that something must be coming. I just don't know where.
Yeah, I smell a pattern change in about 10 days, and I'm afraid things might get kind of active down here. The old low latitude. Speaking of the low latitudes, Nate, you're not a low latitude guy. You're like
I think we're mid-latitude
guy up there in North Carolina. How are you? How was your class this evening?
Look at Nate's lower third.
Oh, yeah, this is good. In fact, you know, for those that are listening, and I know Kevin doesn't like us referring to the video, but we have a lower third. And it says Nate Johnson, email officer and deputy assistant grump. So there, that's good.
This is great. See, now your wife, your son, Peters, and Nate are all grumpier than me. This is fantastic.
So Nate is also a professor. How was class this evening?
Class was very good. We're wrapping up the semester. We've got one more regular class meeting. We talked about social media tonight and how important that was. And I might have mentioned a couple of weather brains during the course of the class. And then finishing up in a week. And then we've got final exam in 2 weeks. And moving on to do her things next semester.
So, do you give these hard tests, these, you know, tough ones, or are you an easy A guy?
Not really. I the tests that I give, I actually give three geography quizzes over the course of a semester under the really? And they're timed quizzes, and there you got to know your states, your capitals, your big cities. That's the first one. You need to know your regions, your rivers, your mountains for the second one, and then this one was about the tropics, and so all the different island chains and things that you'll need to know and be able to recall off the top of your head while standing in front of a camera with a red light on it.
Wow.
And so we do that. And then the final exam isn't so much a final exam. It's essentially I make up a job and I have them apply for it, and just to see what their tape does, and essentially, or their DVD or demo reel or what have you. And if it's good and shows all of the things that we've learned through the course of the semester, then they get hired and they get a good grade. And if it doesn't, then they don't. But so far, it's been, last semester we had 11 people in the class and 11 people got hired. So I like being that kind of manager.
Good percentage. All right. Hey, look who's joined us. The world's greatest weatherman, JB Elliott. JB, how are you?
I feel good.
We didn't wake you up there, did we? You okay, JB?
Yes, I feel good.
Okay.
I'm not hungry.
Well, that's good. Hey, JB, I got a song for you, okay? I want you to listen to this, and I want you to tell me your honest opinion, okay? Just don't hold back, okay? So listen very carefully to this, and if you like it, let us know, and if you don't like us, let us know. Here we go.
Non-stop coverage, you better tune in. When he speaks, you gotta listen to that evac plan. Going live at 5 down by the riverside, just tuning in. No need to run and hide. If you follow, he'll lead. Hand in hand, my boy Span keeps it real. I'm his number one fan. He doesn't cast off. He saved my life in 93. He's the coolest of cats.
All right, JB, what do you think about that song?
Sounds like a garbage dump to me.
Wow.
You're stealing my pick.
Oh, do I need to defer this until the end? I while we got JB, I just wanted to get his true opinion on this song.
You're stolen my pick.
So you're saying, JB, you don't like that song?
No. Let me ask you a question.
Moving on.
And by the way, since that's Bill's pick, I'm not going to say anything else about that. We'll come back to that later. So go ahead, JB. The floor is yours.
My wife is in the other room watching your channel, the Dancing with the Stars, is so-called. It looks to me like it's Dancing with the Moons. They don't have any clothes on.
There's another show title. Dancing with the Moons, man.
I like that one even better.
Now, JB, you don't wear those baggy pants that kind of hang down off your bottom down to your knees, do you?
No.
Okay, you're not wearing those right now because we can't see anything under your shirt there. I mean, you're all right?
I'm going to say, given the choice, JB, rather than listen to that song, would rather listen to Brian sneeze.
All right, let's throw it over to Bill Murray. Bill, we've got a guest on here, and I cannot believe he is still here through all of this. So let's bring in Jesse before he hangs up on us.
Yeah, James, he runs these professional type podcasts, and then he's come over here and he's in for the shock of his life. But tonight's guest, Weather Brain, is the social media coordinator at
And we lost Bill.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Jesse, this
weather, and you had Nate and I on a.
Yeah, this is going to be a tough one. Again, Bill is traveling,
I may have to dive out.
He is on a MiFi, and the connectivity has kind of come and gone. Bill, we lost you for a minute, but you're back, so go ahead.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse, how you doing?
Hi, Bill.
And he's gone again.
Yeah.
It was some music you played.
The latency's all, but it's good to talk to you, Jesse, and thank you for having me on your hangout. Thank you for having Nate the other day.
Thank you.
Yeah, we had great fun in the Future of Weather hangout on Friday.
Yeah, it was a great time to be around Dr. Joe Sobel. But, James, I'll turn it back over to you. I'll drop out so y'all can have your show. I got JB on with his pink lower third. I thought y'all would like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll try to be on from home next week.
Okay. All right, Bill. Good deal.
All right, y'all have a good night.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bill is going to go. What most should do when they get on the show is hang up on us. And again, Jesse, tell us about what you do at AccuWeather.
Well, I'm a meteorologist by training. I got my degree at UNC Asheville in 95. But at AccuWeather, I oversee their social media channels, including Facebook, Twitter, and all the others, and respond to the comments and keep an eye on the trolls and all that good stuff.
Eye on the trolls. How many show titles have we had in the last 5 minutes?
At least three.
Yeah. So you guys at AccuWeather are celebrating a big anniversary. Was that 50 years?
Yes, indeed. We are celebrating the 50th anniversary this year, and actually this month. It was about 50 years ago this week that Dr. Myers started serving a local utility while he was teaching at Penn State. He taught there for about 19 years, and he got the business started 50 years ago this month. So we're pretty proud to have been here for that amount of time. Obviously, seen a lot of companies come and go during that time. So,
what was offered at the very beginning? Do you know?
What do you mean?
What was offered? What were the products? He started the company based on what service?
I think the snow warning service was probably the first one. He was working with local ski slopes on that. He was doing some longer range stuff for the energy utility, I think. But the snow warning service really was the big one back in the 60s and early 70s. In fact, if I can share my screen here for a moment, I'll show you a picture of that. Let me switch over.
While you're switching, I'll ask you another one. I'm sorry, James.
I was going to say, I was not doing weather 50 years ago, so I want to make that perfectly clear.
Okay. You said you're monitoring social media. So on Twitter... there's two questions. On Twitter, how often in a given day does somebody use hashtag AccuWeather? What kind of mention rate is where I'm heading? Are you getting at your place?
We actually get more mentions of just the word AccuWeather as opposed to using the hashtag.
I see.
But we do get people contacting us or at replying us, or they just say AccuWeather said this or that, or...
So what's the frequency? I mean, are they just coming in every minute or a couple an hour, or how does it work?
Oh, a few an hour, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we keep an eye on some of the other hashtags, the more general weather hashtags, too, to see if there's anywhere that we can interject into that conversation.
I see. Because I have this vision. I mean, all the national chains are using some form of social media or whatnot, and the Weather Channel's been really encouraging it. But it seems like that would quite quickly become a flood of information that would be difficult to handle.
It definitely is. We have a pretty good team supporting it, but certainly to manage the mentions of weather would be impossible. But we try to put our information out there and try to keep a close eye on replies to anything that we put out so we can engage the folks.
So how big a team? You say you've got several people. How many are assigned to social media?
We have a handful of folks that do mostly social media full time. We have an intern now from Penn State. That's always good. The intern program at Penn State we have for meteorology and social media, news writing and programming and everything.
One of the things I wanted to ask Jesse, we'll talk more about social media later, is the, you know, the private sector. I guess mainly I want to ask, how's business? I mean, we're kind of whittling down to where there's not that many of these big national private sector firms left, and you're obviously one of the big players. How is the business end of things going? Is business still good?
Oh, yeah. Business is great. I mean, we're seeing the company continues to transform. You know, in the 60s, we did the utilities. In the 70s, we got into radio. In the 80s, we got into TV. In the 90s, the internet. And now mobile is really becoming a huge part of the company.
I was going to say, what's the biggest revenue stream that you have now without sharing trade secrets here?
I'm probably not really allowed to talk about that, yeah. But let's just say internet is doing a lot better these days than it was when I first started 15 years ago. Obviously, things like TV and radio, we still do hundreds of TV and radio stations, but it's not like the old heydays of television in the 80s.
So. Now, when you say you do radio and television stations, do you actually provide on-air talent for television stations, or do you just provide the forecast that somebody uses for those television stations, somebody else on air?
The most common setup that we have is that they get to use the AccuWeather name, and we sell them the data, satellite dishes, and computer systems to create the graphics. And then usually their meteorologists would consult with our guys and create the AccuWeather forecast that way. In a couple of instances, we do actually do the entire show. We actually have a station in the Virgin Islands where we are their weather show, and they just cut to us, and Bernie Reno over at AccuWeather does the forecast for the Virgin Islands.
Wow. Bernie is huge in the Virgin Islands. now, when it comes to the television stations, you know, WSI and Weather Central, they're all merging. You still sell hardware, graphics systems to TV stations. And the next question is, how's that business going since there's not that many players left?
The business is going pretty well. We also recently started selling a touchscreen system that we've had some success with, where we bundled sports and election apps with it as well as the weather. Some of the smaller markets seem to be buying into that.
So when you say touchscreen app, like if you sold it to me, what would I use it for?
You could use it to... for your weathercast, you'd have a touchscreen, kind of like you see on CNN. You could have done election results the night of the presidential election, sports teams, brackets, things like that.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So tell us about you say your emphasis really on mobile now. That's where it's all going. You have obviously some apps that you distribute. Would you consider those to be a competitor to local television meteorologists like all of us here?
Yeah, I'd say that even on a national basis, we do compete in some ways with the local guys.
But but your biggest competitor is who? The Weather Channel?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so do you get along with those guys? I mean, do y'all throw rocks at each other, talk ugly? I mean, I want to get a stink stirred up here, you know?
We don't talk to them that often, but, you know, I did have Tim Ballasty from Weather Channel on one of the Hangouts I did last week when we talked about social media and the weather, and it was interesting to hear some of the things that he had to say. He and I are kind of peas in a pod as far as we were kind of ahead of the social game 5 or 10 years ago, and it's been really interesting to see how that's progressed. In fact, I was just watching last week's Weather Brains, and there was some really interesting social stuff that you guys were discussing on there.
Yeah, Kevin's head explodes when you start talking about social media. So,
no, that show turned me around. I love social media. This is my new thing.
Oh, please!
Yeah, no, I'm in. I'm all in, 100%.
Boy, I tell you what, you know, the lady we had on last week,
Kim,
mm-hmm. She sells that social news desk thing. And yep. I just got a note today from the news department. And the only way now you can access the accounts, social media accounts at the television station is through social news desk.
Really? So, they signed up, huh?
Yeah. Well, I knew they signed up, but I didn't know they were cutting us out. I always had access to the station Facebook and Twitter accounts if I needed to drop something in, but they've cut me out now. So, but you know, that's here or there. But the, you know, the Weather Channel, you know, I guess people still mostly think of them as the cable operation, but their online operation is huge. They're, you know, weather.com and the mobile apps. And I guess, Jesse, if you could look forward 10 years from now, all right, just magically, you know, 10 years out, where do you see AccuWeather and where do you see the Weather Channel in the weather enterprise?
Well, I guess that depends on how many more times they get bought out by a larger company. Yeah. No, I think it's tough to compete against them. I mean, obviously, they have the domain name weather.com, which is huge. Because if you literally type weather in your browser, you're on their website. And they have the 24-hour cable network. So those things are really hard to compete against. But we have been gaining ground on them over the last 5 or 10 years, and we hope to continue to do that.
But let me ask you this, Jesse. A lot of people ask me, why isn't somebody competing with a Weather Channel? And I hear this a lot. You know, they say the Weather Channel is running a lot of these documentaries and movies and specials, and it's not what it used to be. You know, years right. ago, people could turn it on. They can get a forecast. There's always weather. People are on there talking about weather maps in front of a green wall, and people come to me and say, why don't you start something up that's a new Weather Channel, since with the internet, there's no barrier to entry. And soon everybody will be able to watch, you know, internet streams very easily on a big screen television in a living room. So the question to you is, why didn't AccuWeather do that?
Well, we kind of are, actually. We're getting pretty heavy into IPTV and some of those other over internet television devices. We do have the local digital AccuWeather channel, which is in about 50 markets nationwide. I think it's a digital tiered channel. So, you know, it's like channel 473 in certain markets.
By the way, let me just plug that. This show is on our AccuWeather digital weather channel, Jesse. We have preempted your programming for this.
Right. That's excellent. But and a lot of times we work with the local stations where they can run their ads and have their talent give the forecasts and that sort of thing. So we're out there. We're just not on every cable and satellite system yet.
And my question is, do we need another weather channel like it was 20 years ago with the availability of data on the internet? I'll throw this out to everybody here. You know, we all have fond memories of the early days of the Weather Channel, you know, when John Coleman started the thing and it was all weather all the time. But this was back before we had, you know, internet connectivity and we had the data at our hands like we have now. So the question is there a need for an 80s style weather channel today? What do you guys think?
Crickets.
Apparently, there's no need for it because I'm hearing crickets.
Or am I? I'll jump in.
Maybe I'm the only guy that's old enough to remember the Weather Channel back in the 80s.
Oh, no, I remember. I remember, you know, Dennis Smith and John Hope doing the tropical update. And, I think there's the shift in the last few years and really in the last, say, 6 to 12 months especially, where the Weather Channel has shifted back toward really getting hardcore into science. I mean, some of their Sandy coverage, leave the naming of the storms and stuff out for a second, some of their Sandy coverage is really good in terms of taking model data and observations and mapping it together. I mean, anytime you get guys like Norcross and Forbes really dissecting these things, that's, to me, that's really good television. And, you know, anytime you've got big weather, their ratings are going to go through the roof. And I love the fact that they're exposing the people that tune in to, you know, we're going to get into the data and we're going to talk about the science and we're not going to be afraid of it. And I think the segmented cable market allows them to do that. The problem is you'd sort of a live by the sword, die by the sword sort of a model. And if there's nothing going on, their numbers are going to suffer. And that's why you've seen them dip into these documentaries and things like that, because you have to have something to try and draw eyeballs when there's nothing weather-wise going on.
I would like to see them come back with just pure weather.
I'm a fan of that.
Yep. But like Nate says, you know, what do you do when there's no weather going on for days and weeks? And like this week, this, and again, if you're listening to this later, this is the week of Thanksgiving, and we have issues in the Pacific Northwest. But if you take that out, the continental United States is quiet as a mouse. Mm-hmm. And my position is, you know, I think everybody is getting their weather forecasts on a mobile device, like Jesse was saying, you know, mobile. It's where they're getting their first forecast. And, you know, they look at that. And instead of turning to the Weather Channel like they would do in 1985 to get weather on the eights or whatever, they just get it on their, you know, app of their choice whenever they want to. But
I still think there's a reason for television meteorologists and the Weather Channel to exist. And it centers around being able to tell a weather story and being able to dive into, okay, my app says it's going to be 75 today and 50 tomorrow. Okay, some people are going to be happy with that, and some people are going to go, what the heck is that all about? And it's those people, I think, we can still reach that are still interested and are still going to tune in. Weather still affects everybody, and it's still great water cooler talk.
I agree, and I don't think, I never have considered the Weather Channel competing with me, and I know some people disagree with that, but let me tell you something. Nobody in Atlanta understands the people, the culture, the geography of my market better than me. Nobody over there. And they can't compete with me. Having said that, you know, they could try, but I think people are going to watch the local guys. And I think there's room for all of us. But JB, you're probably an interesting case. You watch the Weather Channel a good bit, yet you've got the world at your fingertips with all the data. Why do you watch the Weather Channel?
Because it is a continually moving sequence of weather going around the country with maps and everything. But I do agree with you that the long extended weather stories get boring.
Yep. I was going to say, but I think JB probably watches it because of those young babes they have on there. Brian Peters, what do you think about the Weather Channel? And Brian apparently is sleeping while eating his chili tonight.
No, I'm not sleeping. but I'm also working on the webpage. I think it fills a need for some people, but I agree with you. I think a lot of people are getting their weather information now via their mobile devices. I know I am.
Yep.
So anyway, Jesse, what's the company line on the Weather Channel and the naming of the winter storms?
We have a statement that Dr. Myers wrote, and it's not terribly positive about it. He feels that it is confusing, that it can be confusing to the public, and he feels the same way that a lot of you guys feel, that if they were going to do this, they sure should have talked to somebody else first.
Is there some effort to reverse that decision? Any influence anywhere?
Not that I know of. Mm-hmm. I mean, from what Brian Norcross had said on Weather Brains there a few episodes ago, it sounds like they're going to stick with it.
Yeah. Get this, guys. Not only has he not hung up tonight, he's been listening before. This may be a first.
Yeah, that's very scary. Let me get a normal day for you, Jesse. I'm interested in the social media thing because a lot of us are, you know, we have to do our jobs. We have to deal with social media. We don't have the benefit of having a social media person in most of our local television shops. So what's your normal day like? What are your hours from when to when, and what do you do?
Well, I work in the office pretty much 9 to 5, and obviously I do a little work in the evenings as well. But we have a morning news meeting where all the video broadcasters, the news writers, and some of the meteorologists get together and talk about what's going on in the weather today, what's going on in the news today, what stories should we write, which of those stories would make sense to put out on which social media platforms, and that sort of thing. And then I'm responsible for coming up with a plan for the day, which I email out to everybody in the departments to let them know these are the big stories we're going to push on social media today. So we encourage each person who's out there on social media to share those as well.
But I mean, if something big happens at night or on the weekend, do you deal with it, or are you just a 9 to 5 day shift guy?
No, much like Brad is opined about before, Panovich, we are kind of 24/7 people. There are people in there who can do the hard work, you know, this time of night, but I need to kind of stay on top of things and be aware of what's going on so I can help coordinate things.
So,
and, you know, I'm I'm putting stuff out there on my own social media channels too in the evenings, because as you know, the weather never stops.
So what's your secret of time management? I guess, you know, for all of us, I would say everybody here on this show, we are doing so much more now than we were doing a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. But it has accelerated to the point where it's so overwhelming that you just can't get off the grid. I mean, it never stops. So how do you get off the grid? What's your time management secret?
Well, I don't get off the grid very much, that's for sure. We use some tools like Hootsuite to kind of filter the information and group it together and that sort of thing, so that we can look at one place that kind of brings in the different social channels. So we try to use tools like that. But it is very overwhelming, especially on, like, you know, a Hurricane Sandy day. It's just, there's so much information. It's hard to deal with. And we pull in extra people on days like that.
How do you deal with the problem of Facebook? You know, this is something I struggle with. You know, for a Facebook like page, you know, only 10 to 15% are getting your posts. How do you deal with that?
Well, I know when they announced that number, it didn't surprise me, because I've been pretty intimately familiar with Facebook for a few years now, and the 10 to 15% didn't surprise me at all. And if you look at it at face value, it's actually a higher percentage than you reach in a lot of marketing. So the 10 to 15% was not surprising to me. But how you can combat against it, I mean, it's tough, because, you know, if people are liking 100 pages and have 100 friends, there's only so much you can do to get seen in their feed. And I think some of the things that your social media lady discussed last week were some good ideas about that. We have tried doing some advertising with a specific, like when we put out our winter forecast for 12-13 United States in October, we took that opportunity to run some advertisements on Facebook, either sponsoring the post itself so more people would see the post, or just flat out running ads on the right rail there that would point people to the forecast.
You know, it's an interesting problem. All right, let me change directions and ask you a hard question. What happened to Joe Bastardi?
Well, you know.
Why are you laughing, Nate? Man, this is a serious question.
There's a lot of conspiracy theories.
It's like
that.
A loaded question to me.
Yeah, there's some great conspiracy theories on this deal. So you know the inside scoop, so you can break it right here.
Well, you know, I wish it was exciting as some of those conspiracy theories, but the truth is, he just left one day, and we really didn't see it coming, and it was a big loss for us. It really was.
So but, I would assume he has a lot of private clients in the energy field and other, you know, businesses like that that were using his long-range products. So you're saying he wasn't forced out, he just left on his own?
No, he wasn't forced out at all. That's definitely the story there.
Maybe he'll be at the next Mississippi State Severe Weather Symposium, and you can talk to him.
Well, you know, Joe's been on this show before, and in fact, I tried to get in touch with Joe during Hurricane Sandy, but he was on all those national networks and didn't have time for the little people. We're going to have him back on here and find out what the deal is. But, you know, I remember Jesse. I don't know how long you've been there, but
I've been there about 15 years.
Okay, so you remember Ken Reeves.
Yes.
Who passed away tragically. And Joe, when those guys did those videos, I thought that stuff was funny. I mean, the information was good, and it was good stuff. But what again, for those that don't know, how did Ken die so tragically? That was an accident, wasn't it? Ooh, and we are now... in a magic...
All the dead, so you might have to rejoin.
Yeah, I'm back.
He's back.
Yeah, now you're back.
Let me re-ask
last
that.
Last we heard was Ken Reeves.
Yeah, let me ask that, because we actually had a bandwidth. We went to zero here. That was something that happened here. Tell me about Ken Reeves, his death. As I recall, Jesse, it was in some type of accident.
Yeah, unfortunately, he was up on his roof, I think taking down Christmas lights, and just slipped and fell. And it was really a huge tragedy at AccuWeather because he was the last person that you'd think would suddenly pass like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because wow. he was fit, you know, he was healthy, and he was really a big part of the company and so friendly, and everybody knew him, and he was a great outreach person too for that reason. And I just couldn't believe it when I got the call. And I tell you, the day after it happened, when Barry and Joel Myers talked to everybody in operations in front of a podium the next day, I have never seen the executives look so ghostly as they did that day. And it was clear that that really touched everybody there. And it was just a terrible tragedy.
Well,
you've never experienced NWA until you'd had a chance to hang out with Ken after hours. Just a lot of fun, great guy, and certainly we all miss him.
Yep.
Hey, Jesse, a few more questions here, and I know we're keeping up pretty late tonight.
You guys are keeping me up past my bedtime for sure.
Yeah, trust me, you're stuck with us. And by the way, you've got to come up with the pick of the week later. But a lot of younger people watch this show or listen to the show that are majoring in meteorology, you know, geosciences, some type of atmospheric science, and they're about to enter the job market. And quite frankly, most of them are horrified. In that, obviously, there's no growth in government jobs, and private sector doesn't look really good either. What advice could you give a younger person that's in college that might be a year or two away from entering the job market on getting hired at a private sector company like AccuWeather?
Well, we're still hiring plenty of forecasters these days, but I guess I would recommend that they kind of have a backup plan in something along the lines of maybe they learn some programming, or they learn some social media, or some management, journalism, some way that they could kind of get into the company that way if the forecasting positions become too competitive. I know at AccuWeather, out of our 100 meteorologists, I think 20 or 30 of them are not forecasting. They're doing other things in the company. Like myself, I'm doing social media, and we have programmers who are meteorologists by training, salespeople. It always gives you an edge to be in the company, even if you're not forecasting, if you have that meteorology background. And there's a lot of things you could do in a company like AccuWeather if you're willing to not forecast every day, at least for a while.
I've heard some of the younger people say, you know, I don't have any hope in getting a job at AccuWeather unless I'm a Penn State graduate. How would you respond to that?
Well, I would respond that I didn't graduate from Penn State.
Bulldogs, right?
UNCA, yep. We do obviously employ a lot of people from Penn State, but we got myself up there from UNCA. Frank Strait covers our southern weather. He's also a UNCA grad. We have a number of guys from Millersville who started as interns and now are full-time forecasters. So I wouldn't let that deter you.
So, but if you work a forecast shift, what skill sets do you need? Do you have those that just do the science only and don't go on radio or television, or does everybody go and do some type of media?
Oh, no, our core is still the forecasters who are working with the worldwide database to produce the forecasts that go out for the website and all of our clients, and then work with individual clients to hone in on those forecasts. So that's still the core of most of our forecasting operations. And then we do have, for radio and television, we do have both meteorologists who are on air, and we have on-air talent who are not meteorologists and who will go out on the floor and sit down with a meteorologist and get the forecast that way. So really, either way.
And Jesse, can you explain? I'm sorry, James.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to ask, shift gears, if he could explain real feel. That's something that AccuWeather, what, copyrighted, patented, created, whatever it is?
Yeah, that's something that we patented back in the 80s, I believe. Basically, what we're trying to do was come up with a temperature that kind of lets you know how it feels outside to bridge the gap between wind chill and heat index. So we didn't have to keep flipping back and forth. So the real feel is one consistent number, and it takes into account a lot more than just humidity and wind. So if you're standing outside on a cold winter day, but it's sunny, then the real feel is going to be a little higher than the wind chill would be, for example. So the idea was to provide a consistent number, and that number can be higher or lower than the actual temperature, depending on the conditions.
So if wind chill and or heat index kick in, are those numbers close then, or are they typically somewhat different?
I think they're fairly close.
Mm-hmm. One last one, and I may be asking you to speak for the company, and please just say if I am, but I was looking through on the web for AccuWeather stuff, and something interesting came up on its Wikipedia article, and I guess you would have been here for this, but it was the National Weather Service Duties Act of 2005. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain what that is and then maybe comment on it?
Yeah, that was a bill that Senator Santorum brought up in 2005 to try to get the National Weather Service back on track to adhere to their mission, which is to do the observation of the weather and do the forecasts for the public areas, because we supported that because we felt that they were starting to get into forecasting of things that were better off in the commercial sector. Now, what a lot of people did on the internet, as often happens with political bills, is they didn't really read the bill. But there was some hyperbole out there, which was directed in a negative way at AccuWeather. But all we were really trying to do was make sure that the private weather sector has a place in the partnership between the government and private sector. And actually, in the end, I know Barry Myers, our CEO, ended up after that really having a better relationship with the National Weather Service, and they've worked together over the years to get the appropriate language in place so that the local guys in the NWS know what their job is and when they should draw the line and make a recommendation that it'd be better served by the commercial sector.
Interesting. What's considered going over the line then?
If NWS was going to design, say, a custom mobile app for a racetrack or...
But if they came out with their own just generic mobile app, would that be okay?
Well, I think so. The question of whether NWS should have mobile apps or not is an interesting one, because they're gonna argue that if you want to reach the public, you've got to do that. And
right.
As far as I know, we're okay with that, because... Honestly, we'd rather that people be able to receive the warnings, the official warnings from NWS, through the cell phones, as they do with their program that they have now, because without any offense to the weather radio folks, that technology is just not really accepted by the youngsters these days. So,
So the argument was against going into private sector, like you said, a racetrack forecasts or energy companies or something like that. That
right,
was the
right.
objection.
Yeah. And it wasn't even anything new. It was basically just adhering to the existing mission statements.
Hmm. Good. Thank you.
And we also wanted them to, especially we wanted them to make sure that they were using their time and energy to continue to improve the observation networks. Fix the buoys, fix the airport sensors, upgrade co-op, and that kind of thing. We wanted to make sure that they were concentrating on that as opposed to spending the energy on other more creative things that would be better left up to commercial.
Hey, one more quick question here, Jesse, and we got to do a couple of recorded segments. We talked about crap apps on this show, and these are apps that take raw computer model data, and with a little voodoo, they come up with a forecast that looks like a nice human developed it, but it runs into problems during times of anomalous weather conditions. Some of the national crap apps had temperatures here peaking at 120 degrees back in June in their forecast. How does your app work? Are humans involved in it? Somebody punches up a forecast for, say, Jackson, Tennessee. How does it work?
Well, we have a master national forecast database, and it starts with a blend of models, but then twice a day the meteorologists have a map discussion over the intercom to get everybody on the same page with the next few days' weather for the United States. And while they're doing that, they actually bring up the national forecast or the world forecast database on the screen, and they draw areas of influence where they say, oh, well, you know, the models are wrong in this area. We're going to tweak the temperatures up a little bit here. And the interesting thing about that is that that came from the days of when Joel was teaching at Penn State. He found that the average forecast always beat the best forecaster. So during these map discussions, anybody from the senior meteorologist all the way down to the intern can say, hey, raise their hand and say, hey, did you see this model is doing this? What do you think? Do we need to adjust that? So they tweak that master forecast database on the screen. And then in addition, when we go off and do individual client forecasts, there may be additional tweaking of the forecast in the locations where those clients are as well.
Do you guys ever have any disagreements in the forecast office? Lively discussions,
absolutely.
Finger pointing?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. We, especially when Bastardi was there. to his credit, though, you know what? He said years ago, 2005 maybe, he said, you know, New Jersey and New York City have got to stop being complacent because it's going to happen sooner or later. And now it has, so.
AccuWeather dive into the climate change issue?
You said the buzzer yourself, didn't you?
The buzzer just sounded, and we'll give it a pause just for an answer to this question. We'll get off the subject.
You're just trying to make me bring up Joe Bastardi again, aren't you?
Well, no, I'm just curious. You know, Jesse, how polarizing this issue is.
Oh, yeah.
It invokes hate and anger and rage on both sides. And that's why we don't talk about it on this show. Everybody's made up their mind that's listening. We're not. We've had, Stu Ostro and really good people. We have Cliff Mass that represents the pro-AGW side. And we've had those, that represent the other side. We've had Joe on this show. And a lot – these people don't have any financial interest in it. They're not lunatics. They're not on the fringe. They're sincere people. But I'm just asking, is a weather entity – do you have a position on that?
We do have a position. I believe it's on the website. And I think what it says more or less is that we're undecided because we don't think there's enough reliable data yet to make that determination.
Okay, that's very fair. And that's not a bad way to go. Having said that, we got to take a quick break here. We're going to have Weather Brains 101 with Professor Peters. Bill Murray is out, but after we have the Weather Brains 101, J.B. Elliott. We'll have the National Weather Roundup, which is one of the highlights of the show. We've got the picks of the week. We've got the email inbox and much more. So don't go away. Weather Brains is rolling along.
Weather Brains 101 with Professor Peters.
So what did the raindrop say to the snowflake? You're not my type. So just what types are there when talking about precipitation? No matter where precipitation originates, the weather around the world falls into three basic categories of phenomenon. There's precipitation, obscuration, and other. This begins a multi-part series on these three types. So let's get started with precipitation. As you might guess, the most commonly observed precipitation is rain. Rain comes either in the form of drops larger than that of drizzle, or about 2/100 of an inch, or larger, or smaller drops, which, in contrast to drizzle, are widely separated. Drizzle is fairly uniform precipitation composed exclusively of very fine drops that are very close together. Drizzle appears to float while following air currents, but even when floating, there is a general downward motion to drizzle. Frequently, you will find fog and drizzle occurring at the same time. These cover the liquid forms of precipitation. In our next episode of 101, we'll talk about the frozen form of precipitation. But before we leave the liquid form of precip, you might find it interesting to note that Mount Waialeleau in Hawaii, on the island of Kauai, has the second highest average annual rainfall on Earth, with 460 inches. That's over 38 feet. In the continental United States, Aberdeen Reservoir in Washington has an average annual rainfall of 130 inches. Why, that's a mere 10 feet or so. We'll be glad to answer your questions about the weather. Just drop an email to question@weatherbrains.com.
J.B. Elliott, time now for the National Weather Roundup for the 19th of November.
Wait.
What?
I want to see if Brian can say the name of that mountain in Hawaii again.
No, he can't.
How many times do you have to edit that audio there, Brian?
16, to be exact.
Wow.
And I'm not sure I got it right even then.
So. Fantastic. Good for you.
All right. JB, the floor is yours for the National Weather Roundup on the 19th of November, 2012.
Okay, James, but remember, your very, very good friend, the mayor of New York, says that you know what did cause it.
Uh-oh.
JB's cut his mic off.
No, it's on.
Okay, go for it. We got you, JB. You're loud and clear.
Okay. Lots of active weather in the Pacific Northwest, but in much of the USA is going to have a pleasant Thanksgiving day, but there are some exceptions. There is an intense low-pressure area moving ashore on the Washington and Oregon coast today, and the winds were expected to reach close to 100 miles on the Washington coast down low with the very heavy rain. The intense low is now over the Pacific Northwest. By tomorrow, that low will be further eastward into the Dakotas, and by 2 days from now, in parts of the Great Lakes. So the Pacific Northwest will calm down a little bit. However, the National Weather Service in those areas reported, they were forecasting 10 to 30 inches of new snow on the higher mountain roads in Northwest Washington, such as Mount Baker Highway and the so-called Road to Paradise in the Mount Rainier National Park. Spokane at this moment is getting wind gusts to 43 miles an hour, no thunderstorms involved. And Southeast Washington is gusting to 49 miles an hour at this hour at Walla Walla. 82 was the warmest temperature in the nation today at Brownsville in extreme South Texas, and also Harlingen, Texas, in the same general area. The colder temperatures this morning included 7 above at Alamosa, Colorado, and 39 below at Eagle, Alaska. Let's see. And I think that's just about it. By the way, Brian, there's a place in India, Cherrapunji, India, that gets 400 inches of rain a year.
And yep. Brian is the internationally beloved meteorologist, and he's been there many times, right?
No.
All right. Now, JB.
I'd like to go there. See if. JB. Take a rain gauge.
One more time, JB. I want you to listen to this song. And so you're saying that you do not like this.
The worst winter storm on record in this country.
Non-stop coverage. You better tune in. When he speaks, you gotta listen to that evac plan. Going live at 5 down by the riverside.
They didn't play that down in Hale County back in the 30s, did they? If you
follow your lead. I tried to.
Go ahead, JB.
I tried to watch a little bit of the American Music Awards the other night, and it sounded like tin roofing being rubbed against each other.
All right, enough of that here. I tell you what.
Wait, James, do you know that person?
That did that song? No.
Yes. Oh, really?
No. I mean, it just showed up on Twitter Saturday night.
Wow. Because he mentions that you saved his life or something during the blizzard of 93. I wondered what the backstory was.
That would be me and you. Both of us. Yeah.
It sounds like a promo.
I was just standing outside in the snow all night, but I wonder what the story was there.
No. I mean, Kevin worked the blizzard with me, and we're going to try and find out who did that, and maybe we can get him on the show. But that is an interesting little little rap song there. But having said that, we got to move along here and check the good old email inbox with the email officer, and that would be Nate.
Letters. We get letters. We get stacks and stacks of letters.
All right, it's all
it's
you.
The dance. Yeah, it's the dance craze that's sweeping the nation. It's letters on Weather Brains. First off, our buddy Jeff Wilcox, friend of the show, sent us a link to an article about Get Your Buzzer Ready, James. Money, yeah. Climate change causing the drought in Iowa. So we'll post that on the old website there. Our friend Tarmo Tattlesu, I know I butcher his name now that we've heard it. He'll just have to send his picks in audio form every week. But he sent us a link to the video of the tornado in Portugal. This was making the rounds a Friday afternoon. Pretty crazy stuff. He comments, whoever took that video must have been born, as we Estonians say, in a shirt of luck. And I have to confess, when I read that the first time, I read it as something entirely different than shirt. Got a listener survey response from Norm in Fort Collins, Colorado. We appreciate your listening. And he sent us a note. One of the things he mentioned was the RSS feed, and there have been a couple of emails recently. We're going to post to the website. So if you're having problems finding us on the RSS feed, we'll post the link, make sure it's right there. But there may be a, when we switched over recently, we moved some things around so that James has total control of the feed, and we've got that ready to go. So we'll post a link to that just to make sure that everybody is saying
this. Speaking of changes, Nate, and I know this is not you, but who is the Get JB's Old Weather Company email out of the system officer? Because that thing is driving me crazy.
Yeah, we've had about 5 million bounces. Every time somebody sends an email, you get this, I'm sorry, but Qmail has rejected this email.
Yes.
But no, Bill Murray fixed that yesterday.
Then why did I get one this morning?
Really? Well, maybe he fixed it this morning. But the deal is, you know, we changed domain names. We sold our old one and we have a new one, and that was one of the things that we did not get fixed, but it is now allegedly fixed.
I know. I'm sorry.
By the way, what is we had to punt on this a couple of 3 weeks ago because I think it was Sandy or one of those named winter storms or something. But you mentioned, or we were going to tell us the name of the new company.
Oh yeah,
the new name for the company. We never did.
Well, put it this way, all right. We and it doesn't. The name is not that important for us. What we do, we're not a big company like Jesse's. Okay, I don't have 100 guys in this forecast battle room back here. I mean, we've got a smaller group, but we just poked around and we found us a good old $9 domain name called theweatherfactory.com, and that's what we are now.
Oh.
So we went from theweathercompany.com, which has been transferred to the Weather Channel. That is their parent, the name of their organization. So we bought our domain name for $9, and I'm just saying that they spent a little more when they bought the old one from us.
You've gone from selling the weather to making it. I love it.
There you go.
That's actually a pretty good domain name for $9.
I was shocked. Yeah. I mean, you can't find weather anything, but somebody had recommended Forecast Factory, and that's not a bad name. But we found the Weather Factory, so for $9,
we're
in
business. Is it the Weather Factory or just Weather Factory?
Yes and yes. We got them both.
Oh, wow.
When do I get NSJ at weatherfactory.com? I'm still waiting.
Yeah, Mr. Murray is our email domain guy, so when he gets back on here, we'll get that happening.
One of the guys I follow from Weather Central mentioned that they were getting the weather.com email addresses a couple of weeks ago, and I have to mention that would be pretty cool, as would anything at AccuWeather.com.
Everybody on this show is going to get you're going to get an NSJ at weatherbrains.com domain name.
More spam.
That is the exciting one right there.
I remember in college, I remember when weather.com was still available,
mm-hmm.
and back then domain names were free because they hadn't started charging for them yet. But of course, you know, back then I had a beard and I was like, well, I don't need a .com, you know, that's for the man. I'll just get a .org.
I love it. All right, well, let's get the email segment back on track here.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's quite all right. I took us off track. It's my bad. I got a suggestion from Doug Delifty. I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly. We appreciate the guest suggestion. We have a bit of a southern and southeastern and central plains bias to the show, and so anytime we can get folks from the northeast or the northwest, or in this case from the UP of Michigan, guest suggestion, we appreciate that. So we'll send those along to us, email at weatherbrains.com. Got an email from Ellie O'Dare, who is at AzureWX on the Twitter, and she's asking about the Gov delivery service. This was an email and text message service. You could sign up and get forecast, watches, warnings from the Weather Service via this third party service that would email them to you. And I saw that it was going away, and now I'm seeing that it's coming back at least for another 30 days. So it sounds like maybe there's some negotiations to keep that going. If you're in the know about that, just shoot us a note, let us know. We'd appreciate hearing from you. But the last we have is that's going to go until at least about mid-December.
And so that was an opt-in program? It's not the one where they...
I believe this was an opt-in for email and text messages, but it was something that you had to opt into, I think. But Gov Delivery is the govdelivery.com. So if you're listening and you happen to know something about that, shoot us a note and we'll pass it on. We got an email, a thank you email. We love these most of all, I think. Keith Campbell from Oxford, Alabama, sent us a note a couple weeks ago, asked us about, you know, he's passionate about the weather, wants to know some options, and got a lot of feedback, and I wanted to shoot us a note and thank us for that. We certainly thank him for listening and wish him all the best in his next few steps. We mentioned last week about Nick Jones getting into, not an argument, but Kevin was picking a fight with some guy on Twitter.
Whoa.
And so he spends all his grumpy on Twitter and on his blog, and doesn't save any for the show. Anyway, he sent us a nice follow-up about that, and anyway, he is that Nick Jones on Twitter if you want to follow that. He comments about the dynamics of written journalism and TV on a pedestal and all that.
He's a good guy. He sent me a note, a separate note, and he's a good guy, and I think you should definitely follow him on Twitter. You need to tell everybody. You and I were exchanging emails over the weekend on something, but you need to tell the story of what your wife asked you.
Oh.
That you sent me an email.
Yeah, let me
talk about
finish.
Grumpy.
Yeah, so we're having a nice chat about the blog post that I posted to digitalmeteorologist.com on. It was actually late Friday night when I wrote it, but my wife is throwing things at me from over the door. That's nice. Anyway, apparently I'm being too loud. Anyhow,
by the way, she just slapped Nate. Listen. Oh, wow.
So anyway, I'm posting about the whole Sandy service assessment mess, and my wife lovingly asked me Saturday. She said, "So when are you going to stop?" Well, I won't use the exact words she used, but when are you going to stop making mad all of the people who you might work for in the future? Let's see. We're posting about the Weather Service this week. We've ragged on the Weather Channel before. Good thing I've got some job security, at least right now. And as soon as I say that, I'll walk in tomorrow and be asking for a job. So,
I dodge that question, by the way?
Yeah, exactly. So, Jesse, I may be calling you guys here in another couple of weeks. I haven't offended you guys yet, so maybe there's a place for me in State College.
There's always time.
Yeah. And final email was from Matthew Romai. This was sent a couple weeks ago, got lost in the Sandy shuffle. I apologize for that. But sent us a note about the ice storm that Todd Foisey mentioned at the end of 1997 and the beginning of 98. That was three or four episodes ago. Sent us a great a guest suggestion. We appreciate that. And really interesting guest suggestion, not so much a specific guest suggestion, but a philosophy. And maybe with the new domain name change, this doesn't work anymore. I don't know. But he says, also looking back, it seems that there's a slant for guests toward those that create weather and weather forecasts. Is it possible we could get some guests on the other end, people that use the weather, for example, emergency services, pilots, sports officials, et cetera, ad infinitum, ad nauseum. So if you have any suggestions for that, we'd love to. I'd love to talk to maybe a weather forecaster or a pilot or dispatcher for one of the airlines. Those are, it's a really neat, neat business. I like to fly a good bit as well. And he's bragging, by the way, that he's listened to every episode of Weather Brains ever.
Wow.
So,
wow.
So have we, and none of us are bragging. Well.
And that is the end of the email in bag for this week.
I'm going to go into another rat hole here. The Sandy service assessment debacle.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk about that. So Mike Smith, he was going to lead this. Mike is not in the government. He is a private sector guy. And, you know, he was all excited. And then he got an email and said, sorry, we were just kidding, or we changed our mind. Nate, sounds like you have intimate knowledge of what happened.
Well, they brought a team. There's actually a pretty good recap, if I do say so myself, on digitalmeteorologist.com. If you're interested, go check that out. It's a pretty much a blow-by-blow, but essentially they were going to put together a service assessment team, and Mike has been critical for quite some time, actually, of the concept of the Weather Service investigating itself. And I'm not going to get into the merits of that, but about a week
disclaimer.
After he posted... Yeah, after
Mike
a week,
Smith does work for Accurate.
Yes, he does. He does. So he posted, he said, you know, posted on his blog and said, you know, hey, this is crazy and we need to have independent people. Well, apparently he got an email from somebody at headquarters in the National Weather Service who said, hey, how'd you like to co-lead this thing? Because it would be, you know, we want to show you that we really want an independent investigation. We want to make things better, et cetera, et cetera. So he and roughly a little more than a dozen people, I know some names, but until they come out and say so publicly, I'm just going to leave that alone because some of these people may be involved in the future thing, whatever it is. But there were somewhere between a dozen and two dozen people involved in this, Mike Smith being one of them. And Nizette Rydell, forgive me if I'm mispronouncing her name, but she's the MIC at the Weather Service Office in Denver, and they were going to co-lead this thing. Less than a week after that, they get an email saying, you're done. We're shutting it down, terminating it. We're done. And very little since then, other than a couple of sort of nebulous quotes about we're going to do a wider review, perhaps a wider government review. But as of right now, that hasn't happened yet. I don't know of any of the service assessment folks who've heard anything official. I haven't talked to any of them since then today, though, so that may have changed. But supposedly, there's going to be a multi-agency review lit up for this at some point in the near future. But there are a number of folks who are not holding their breath, as it were. So, and then there's all sorts of conspiracy theories about craziness. I'm not going to get into that. You can search the internet if you're interested about it. I really want to try and let this process play out because I think it is vitally important to figuring out whether, for example, the warning decisions that were made, were those good or bad? Who made them? Who drove them? I mean, that's a really important, potentially precedent-setting thing going forward. And I think it's really important that whatever team is chartered has a chance to really look into that. But one of the things that Mike complained about was they were told that they weren't going to be allowed to travel to the National Hurricane Center to interview Hurricane Center forecasters in person, which you're doing a service assessment on a hurricane.
Yeah, that smells bad.
Why wouldn't you want to talk to the people who are issuing before? I mean, we have the best hurricane forecasters in the world. Why wouldn't you want to talk to them? Especially since the forecast, you know, the warning decisions aside, the forecast was nothing short of incredible for that. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out over the next couple of weeks and months. It's possible that the same people who are on the team may get involved in the new team. Obviously, Mike Smith's inclusion was somewhat controversial, especially amongst Weather Service folks, but not just Weather Service people. And then there were a lot of people who thought it was a great idea, including there was a report put out by the National Academies of Science that said that the Weather Service should look at more independent reviews of big events. And so there are a couple of co-authors of that, John Morales down at the NBC in Miami being one of them. So really interesting to see how that's going to play out over the next few weeks.
Hey, Jesse, what do you know about this?
Well, actually, I don't know much more than what Nate has said and what Mike has obviously said on his blog. I asked around the office this morning to see if there are any updates over the weekend, and there's nothing new on the table. So, I mean, we're as mystified as Mike is about it. Mike was really excited about it, and the people that he was talking to, they had already started working on it, and they were all very excited about it. It seemed to be a very positive thing, so I'm not sure what went wrong there.
I think Brian Peters, you know, Brian is our government insider.
Give me a break.
Well, you're the WCM, man. You know everything. I mean, why would they put a services assessment team together and then pull the plug on it right after
that? I don't know, because they're stupid, that's why. First of all, do you want it to smell bad? Then do exactly what they did.
Wow.
I mean, I was in the Weather Service for like 36 years, and I was on a number of survey, service assessment groups and teams, and they were by far a wonderful mix of government and private, private industry groups of people. And we took a hard look at the various and sundry things that went on for these various and events, like the Gerald, Texas tornado just being one that comes to mind, the Elena survey of Hurricane Elena that impacted the Gulf Coast so badly, you know, all the way from Florida over to New Orleans. And yet this, if you really wanted to make this controversial, do exactly what they've done. It's kind of like somebody is scripting it to make it look like there's something wrong. And I think, like everybody's already said, I think the forecasts were all pretty good. I still don't completely understand dropping hurricane warnings, but from the Hurricane Center. But
this whole thing is just there's something going on here. So,
and that's something that the survey team is going to have to. I mean, there are some tough questions to ask. And I think you could argue the exact same the other direction, that if they'd have stayed with hurricane warnings and it went post-tropical before it made landfall, we'd be asking difficult questions just of another kind. So I think it's fair that we let that play out. But, I've had a lot of folks just say, just let it play out and don't say anything one way or the other. And, you know, that's not what we're here to do. We're here to ask questions and make sure that it gets done. Changing gears just for a second, from the Ask and You Shall Receive department, a breaking news update about the Gov Delivery Service. It looks like they are going to continue it as a free community service. And those who were subscribers have gotten an email saying how they can continue to get their subscriptions after the 30-day grace period phases out. So good news about that. If you have that subscription, you'll be able to get more information directly from them. Don't come looking to us. That's all.
We interrupt this program for a CBS Radio Net Alert Bulletin.
So Brian Peters says, I have breaking news.
Well, he stole one of them.
Yeah.
The other one is, we got a note from Jonathan Hooks telling us who created that song about you, James.
Oh, really? I need to check my email. Do we have names?
Jonathan Hooks said, we are the creators of the song. Mixing and background vocals was Austin Anderson. First verse was Kyle Roberts. Second verse, Jonathan Hooks. Third verse, Nathan Strickland. Fourth, Scott Hodnett. And fifth, Austin Anderson. And he yelled out, thank you so much for playing it.
Oh, yeah. Let the Twisters do that. You gotta love the James Spann rap song. The production.
I thought that might have been the rapping weatherman at first.
Yeah, really. The production value
Nick,
on this.
Nick from up in Idaho.
The production value on this thing is really good.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody worked hard on that. All right, we've got to do
Picks
of the
Week. Wait. Now, speaking of production value,
jungle music.
Last week. Did you adjust the levels on because last week all the audio obliterated any of
the
that
was my bad.
I
missed a setting. That was my bad.
Well, I wanted those guys' names to get out because that was excellent stuff.
Yeah, no,
put that on my iPod.
It was good stuff. All right, let's do Picks of the Week. We're gonna go around the horn here. Everybody share something that is weather related or preferably weather related. And Bill Murray is out, and I think he he was actually going to pick that song that we just played.
He did.
Okay. Yep. So, and we're going to put a link to the video on weatherbrains.com. All the links, by the way, will be up on the website, weatherbrains.com. And my pick, let me see here. Let me, for those that happen to be watching, I'll throw this up.
While he's looking to steal one.
Oh, wait a minute. Come on.
Are you going to buy us some flowers, James? That's so sweet.
Don't you love, you go to these sites and then these boneheaded pop-ups come up. Share this with your friends. You know, email, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, more.
Hey, that's social media. Don't knock my friend's social media.
These are photographs from Australia. I don't know if you guys saw some of the images, the superstorms.
Wow. Yeah, they had some incredible weather over the weekend. I've seen a lot of hail and lightning and shelf clouds, water spouts, amazing stuff.
I mean, let me tell you what, this is just stunning. And there's 185 photographs in here, and I must credit one of our listeners that is from Australia tipped me off on this. So this was one I stole. I'll be the first to admit it, but it was so good I had to steal this. So anyway, it's a link to galleries of remarkable severe weather photographs from Australia, and we'll have that up on weatherbrains.com. Producer JP, do you have a pick for us this week?
Yes, I do have a pick this week. It's kind of a sad pick, but today, 14 years ago, famous Dr. Fujita passed away. I noticed that today, and he passed away on November 19th, 1998. So he was obviously a pioneer and a renegade in the weather business, so I thought I would give him a shout out and remember him.
Yeah,
amazing man.
And a very humble guy, too.
And J.B. Elliott, you actually worked with Dr. Fujita a few times, did you not?
I met him on two occasions when I was doing a storm survey, and he came by our office, and he, after we had done storm data, stayed up all night to type the camera ready copy. He read it and decided that one of those tornadoes in North Alabama was not a single track tornado, that it was two separate tornadoes, so we had to completely redo storm data. But he was nice about it.
Hey, JB, is it true that he actually considered ranking the Smithfield tornado, and this is one north of Birmingham, Alabama, in 1977, is an F6?
That is correct. He came by the office at 11 West Oxmoor Road, and we had a news conference. The reporters came out and so forth. But he did make that statement during that news conference, but he backed away from it.
Well, you know, what we need to do, an episode with just JB. I've decided we need to clear out everything else, and we're going to interview JB, because this man is weather history. He's lived it. He knows these people. He's been through it all. And
I wish we could have had him on the weather history hangout the other day when we were talking to Dr. Joe, and Bill was there. But I'm sure JB could tell us a lot about how the weather's changed in the last 50 or so years.
Yeah. Remind me to tell the story of Wander von Braun, my encounter with him, when we do that.
I hope it's as good as the Miss Kitty story of Gunsmoke. All right, I'm looking at my clock here, and I've got a newscast deadline here. Nate, you got a pick for us this week?
I do. First of all, I need to go back and mention the GovDelivery answer that we got was from Ricky Matthews, WXRJM. Wanted to give credit for that before we moved on. Pick of the week, it's Thanksgiving week. Since this is my first Thanksgiving, I'm going to give thanks, and I'm going to tell you in advance that I'm going to use this pick every Thanksgiving week for the rest of my life, just so you know. But this is, Mike Smith was kind enough to post this on his blog, but it is the WKRP in Cincinnati Thanksgiving episode. If you have never watched it, it is 22 minutes.
Turkey drop.
Of pure television gold. It's become a tradition in our house. We hook up the laptop to the TV and we play it through Hulu, and it is classic. Just do yourself a favor. If you haven't seen it, go click on the link. go spend 22 minutes. I promise you it'll be worth it.
I'll agree.
Nate, I think I detect some finger marks on your forehead. Is that where your wife slept you?
What's funny is a couple of minutes ago, we've a couple of French doors here separating the office from everything else in the house. She just put the baby to bed, and she was standing through those doors just looking at her watch going, "You need to be quiet. The baby's asleep."
And that's when she did this. All right. Kevin, what's your pick for this week?
It has nothing to do with weather unless you're in broadcasting. Actually, no, it has in any industry. As you know, I'm trying to look forward and see what's next. And it's a book by Doc Searles, who is an internet visionary. It's called The Intention Economy. And to summarize it, I think it starts to, and I'm only a small way through it, but it starts to address the difference between pushing data at people, which we are doing through social media and through the television stations, and not so much through the apps. So pushing data at people as opposed to having them be in control and asking for it. And I think it's a pretty good read.
Very good. Okay. And again, the link will be up on weatherbrains.com. JBM, by the way, we don't have a fog bank this week. Sky Daver is getting ready for Thanksgiving, and he wasn't able to get us an audio file, which means, JB, you might be in trouble. You got a pick for us this week?
I do not have a pick this week. I'm so very sorry.
All right. That's what happens.
Brian? I could give you a song by the Sons of the Pioneers.
Right, Brian, where did this bell come from? What is this bell?
Well, you give me a bell and I just ring it to me. You know, those guys, you know, Dvorak and Adam Curry. You ever listen to their show?
I've never listened to that show.
No Agenda. They ring that stinking bell, and I had to get me a bell.
See, it's ear piercing. You're just as bad as I was when I was doing public address back in Texas. I was doing public address for a college baseball team, and I had the laptop with all the sound effects, and we just had a good old time.
There you go. All right, Brian, your pick?
Well, my pick involves primarily weather, but it's a website called Science Daily, and it's got a lot of, I think, pretty interesting stuff, and especially when it comes to Earth and climate. It's got a lot of articles. I said climate. I didn't say anything about the other word.
I can't. God, I have nothing to do with that.
I'm going to have to come over there and break your fingers.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
Another title.
We got too many titles tonight. But anyway, some of the stuff from Australia, the bad weather they had the past weekend was in an article. So I'll put the link up there because it's one of those you can't, you know, say.
Okay, Jesse, we've tried to stall as long as we can. Now it's you. So here's your chance to plug anything you want here. Pick of the week. Go for it.
Well, how about this? This is the way we used to do weather in the old days. This is a shot of Elliot Abrams from AccuWeather doing the show for Weather World, which is a public access show in Pennsylvania that we've been involved with for a long time. Joe Bastardi, as a matter of fact, used to be on there, but we're not even sure when this is from. We're thinking probably early 80s. But
it was Wednesday at 5 p.m.
I'm sure. I'm sure some of you guys can attest that we've come a long way since then.
What are those satellite pictures up on the top of that thing there? So we had the national map. All right, well, listen, I'm looking at the clock here, and we've got to put a bow on this thing. Weather Brains is the weekly show all about the weather, and if you would like to get in touch with us, the email address, it's email@weatherbrains.com. And other than that, our Facebook accounts, our Twitter accounts are up on the website. Hey, Jesse, what's your Twitter account? How can people get in touch with you? You're the social media guy. What's the best way to get in touch with you?
You can reach me at @AccuJesse on Twitter or at facebook.com/weathermatrix. And my blog is weathermatrix.accuweather.com.
There you go. We do this every Monday night at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern. You can watch it live on live.bigbrainsmedia.com. There's a chat room on there as well. Or like most of you, you listen later. And if you do listen to iTunes, we love those iTunes comments as well. So on behalf of the entire Weather Brains crew, I'm James Spann. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving and God bless.
Spann predicts the weather. Some say he controls it. When the weather's out of line, baby, he patrols it. More
popular than a... JB, what'd you say this sounds like?
Jungle music.
Yeah.